But deciding what you're going to do with your life as a career is important. Here Joshua is calling Israel to make an extremely important decision. He is challenging them to commit themselves to the Lord, their God, the one God, Jehovah, the one who is I am, the Alpha and the Omega. Commit to Him. That's the call and that's the challenge. Now, we didn't read it, and I don't think we're going to during the sermon, but in verses 1 through 13 of this chapter, God, through Joshua, has told them all that He has done for them up to this point. And He doesn't tell them everything, but He hits the main points. He goes all the way back to Abraham and says, I called Abraham out of an idolatrous country, and I brought him to this land, and I gave him these sons and these sons their sons, and on it went till you were all in Egypt, and I brought you out of Egypt, and I've brought you to this point. I've gotten you here, and I've given you this land. On all the battles that you've won, it's been because I've given them into your hand. I've done all of this for you. And then verses 14 and 15 come up, and Joshua says, now, you need to cast away those idols. You need to cast away those things, and you need to commit yourself to the Lord. And he's challenging them, and he says, in sincere, my version says in verse 14, therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. Some of your versions might say, in all faithfulness. And you think about that for just a moment. He's calling them to say, this is what you're going to do for your life, right? This is a whole lifetime commitment. All faithfulness, in sincerity and in truth, you are going to serve the Lord. You are going to fear Him. You're going to stay with Him. That's a challenge for the Israelites. I want you to notice something in verse 16. Notice what the people say after his challenge. The people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is He who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and who did these great signs in our sight and preserved us through all the way in which we went, and among all the peoples through whose midst we passed. The Lord drove out from before us all the peoples, even the Amorites who lived in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for He is our God. It seems like right there that the people are extremely ecstatic. Yes, Joshua, we will serve the Lord. We will do everything in our power to serve the Lord. We know what He's done. We see it. We remember it. We've been there. We've done that. And you got to remember, Joshua is a man who's lived 110 years up to this point. He's a man who understands what it means to be committed to the Lord. He was a man with Caleb, who we talked about last week, who went out to spy the land, who gave a good report saying, we can take it as long as the Lord is with us. And the other 10 spies said, there's no way we can do this. Because of that, they had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Joshua and Caleb being the two that didn't die with the rest of the generations of their time. And so now he's here, and he's telling them and he's challenging them, fear the Lord, serve Him with sincerity and faith, with all faithfulness, with all truth, with all trust, serve Him. And now the people come back, and it seems like, hey, they've got a great response, right? Let's do it. We're going to serve the Lord. Now notice what Joshua says in verse 19. Then Joshua said to the people, you will not be able to serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgression or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then He will turn and do you harm and consume you after He has done good to you. The people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. Notice Joshua wasn't ready to just take their initial answer, was he? They said, yeah, we will serve the Lord. We know what he's done. We will do it. And sometimes when we're challenged or we're asked to do something and we're excited about it at first, you know, we give a real positive answer, right? Yeah, I'll do it. I'll do it. And then as time goes on, we realize that's not exactly what I signed up for, right? I didn't really want to do all those other things. But it made sense at the time for me to say, I will serve the Lord. But now that I realize how difficult some of these other things are, I'm not sure I'm ready or willing to stick with it. And so Joshua challenged them again, saying, hey, remember not only what he's done for you, but remember that if you forsake him, that when you do these things, if you continue to serve these gods, he will bring harm to you instead of blessings. He will bring curses instead of those blessings. And so he reminds them once again, and they come back in the affirmative again. And so in verse 22, Joshua says to them, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen for yourselves the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. You realize how big of a decision this is? Joshua has called all the tribes of Israel together. You see that in verse 1. He is speaking to everyone. And he's challenging every single person in the nation of Israel to serve God. They said, yeah, we'll do it. He said, now hold on, do you understand what you're committing to? And they said, yes, we'll do it. And he said, okay, you are witnesses against yourselves this day. And they said, we are witnesses. Now in the book of Judges, we find out that the people didn't exactly live up to this commitment. In chapter 2, we learn that Joshua has died, and all the elders that were serving with him at that time, they pass on. And in verse 10 of chapter 2, we find out that there arose a generation that did not know God and did not know the works that he had done. Here the people in chapter 24 are saying, we will do this, we will do this, we remember these things. But notice that that commitment fell short in the book of Judges. When new generations came up, for some reason that legacy of faith, the commitment that maybe their parents started or held on to, didn't exactly stick with everyone. And the commitment started to fall short. Back in verse 15, Joshua took time to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He tells them to choose for yourselves today. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Joshua was willing to make the commitment for himself and for his house. We're going to do this. This is a great sermon to preach on a Father's Day. Right here from Joshua 24. Because that's what every man in their house should have committed to. To say, I'm gonna do the best that I know to do in commitment to God. And I'm going to make sure everyone in my house understands that. We will serve the Lord. I'm going to raise my children up to the point where they understand who God is. They know what he's done for them. And they won't be like the generation in Judges chapter 2 that rises up and doesn't even know who God is or what he's even done. They have no idea. I've come across families and they talk about their children or they talk about their grandchildren. And sometimes it's, hey, you did the best you could. I mean, you taught them everything Scripture says about about God, about what he's done, about Jesus coming and all these things, and they know the truth, but they've chosen to disregard it. They've chosen to go another direction in their lives, and there's just really not much you can do about that. Everyone has free will, and they choose to live their life how they will live it. But I also talk to other families, and I start to understand that their children really don't know anything. Their grandchildren haven't really even heard about Jesus. Now, they might have heard about Jesus from a friend or something like that, but they don't know anything about God's word or what it says. And that's a sad statement. Now, I don't know about Joshua and the elders and how they raised their children and how that generational thing worked out, but it says that generation rose up and they didn't know. Some point along the way, somebody dropped the ball. They didn't continue to show the commitment to the Lord in teaching, because that's one of the commandments that they were given. If they're going to serve the Lord in sincerity and truth and in all faithfulness, one of the things they had to do was pass on the knowledge and the faith to their children. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. They were to teach these things to their children time and time and time again, every opportunity they had. Joshua says, "Do you understand the commitment that you are about to make?" I know a lot of times we end our sermons with a call to baptism and a call to the obedience to the gospel. And we usually focus on the fact that when you do this, you receive the forgiveness of your sins, right? It's usually how a sermon ends for the most part, in some fashion or another. But rarely do we talk about the other things that come along with a baptism. When you decided to be baptized, it wasn't just the forgiveness of your sins that you were receiving. It's what you were committing yourself to in that decision. You were saying, "You are my God, you are my master, you are my Lord, and I'm giving my whole life to you." The symbolism of baptism is, as you go underwater, that old man dies. That man of sin is dead. And as you rise up, you're a new creature, a new creation in Christ. And you're living a faithful life for him. And Paul puts it best in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. That it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Really understanding that when you've decided to obey the gospel, it's not just about what you're receiving. It's the decision that you've made to say, "I am committing myself to God. My whole life is his." And here's Joshua saying to the Israelites, "Are you willing to do that?" Now, he goes on to say a number of times here in verse 14 and in verse 15, and when he talked to them later on, he says, "To put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord." Put away those gods and serve the Lord. Now, it's interesting that he says that multiple times right here towards the end of his book. It seems like there's definitely a problem with that in the land. There's a reason why God told them to drive out the inhabitants of the land, right? "I'm giving you this land, but you need to drive out the inhabitants." Why? Because if you start to mix together, you start to intermarry, and you let them stay here, you're going to be drawn to their idols and to their gods. And you won't be drawn to me. You won't follow after me. Joshua mentioned that God is a jealous God there in verse 19. And he will not forgive your transgression or your sins. He's a jealous God. You can't just give in to these idols. Now, what are those idols for us today? I remember for a long time when I heard the term idols, I would just think of like a little wooden statue or some, you know, thing, some image, something that would just, you know, that's not who we are. That's not what we do. We're beyond the idol situation. But we're not, are we? An idol is anything that you begin to worship, that you begin to give yourself to over God. Of course, in the United States, one of the big idols is money. Greed is rampant, and that's a huge idol in our society and in our country. And it's been an idol for a long time, but that's something that we certainly struggle with in our country, don't we? People just wanting to have more, so they can do more, so they can spend more, and they give everything in their life just to earn more and more money, never realizing that it's all for naught. If they're not living for God, all this money has done you no good whatsoever. Now, you may have other idols that are popping up in your life. Sometimes those idols can be a superstar athlete. They can be a movie star. And some people really like Entertainment Tonight. They really want to know and hear what this particular person is doing. And they've lifted them up on a pedestal, and they're focusing everything on their life on that person. Have you ever seen a TV show where they're showing a person that has just done a huge collage on a wall, and they've made like a little shrine to a particular thing? And it's silly to see it, right? But that's actually giving us a little bit of a truth in our society. How we build up things, how we worship certain things and certain people, and we're missing it. We're missing God. He is the only one worthy of our devotion, of our worship, of our faithfulness. The great thing about us committing to Him and our faithfulness towards Him is that God, in turn, will be faithful to us. And He will help us time and time and time again. And He is there for us whenever we need Him. There's a number of different times in Scripture where it says that God knows the righteous, or He knows His children, or He knows His people. It's a very encouraging statement, because it's not just the fact that He knows who you are, but it means that He will care for you, that you have a special place in His heart, that He is focused on your life and what you're doing. And He sees your needs, and He sees your wants, and He sees all the things that you're involved in. And He wants to help you. But we have to make sure we get rid of those idols first. If you have an idol in your life today, you think about what it might be. It doesn't have to be anything I said. It could be something else that's distracting you, that's pulling you away from God. It's time to take the advice of Joshua and throw it away. And do you see what he's saying? He says, put them away. Throw them away. Completely get rid of them. Don't just take it and put it in the closet, right? It's not just putting it away in the closet, thinking that it'll never be seen again. Because if it's there and it's accessible, guess what? You're going to want to open up that closet, and you're going to want to walk back in and take it out. You've got to completely put it away. Completely throw it away, get rid of it, so that it's no longer a temptation in your life. And so that you can fully devote yourself, fully commit yourself to the Lord. Now, it's not just the challenge. It's not just putting away the idols, but notice, if you skip on down towards the end here, starting in verse 24. The people said to Joshua, "We will serve the Lord our God, and we will obey his voice." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and made for them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law, and he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. Joshua said to all the people, "Behold, this stone shall be for a witness against us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord which he spoke to us. Thus it shall be for a witness against you, so that you do not deny your God." Then Joshua dismissed the people, each to his inheritance. Joshua set up a large stone. That's something that we've seen time and time again through the book. I know we didn't preach or go through every single chapter of Joshua, but it seems like time and time and time again, they seem to set up a stone, or they set up an altar, or they do something to remind themselves of either what the Lord has done, or for instance, right here, he says, this stone is a witness, and it's a reminder of the commitment you've made. It's heard everything that you said right here today. We need to set up reminders in our lives. I don't know about you, but there's a cross on the front up here. And I hadn't really paid attention to it since I've been here, but I just kind of glanced up this morning as we were partaking of the Lord's Supper, and I noticed the cross. Whenever I see a cross, it is a strong reminder of what God has done for me. It's a reminder that Jesus was on that cross, and that he gave himself up for me. But it's also a reminder, not just what God has done, but what I said I would do. I said, I'm going to take up my cross daily, and I'm going to follow after you. Many of you here have made that same commitment. Now, it doesn't always have to be a cross that is reminding you. You can have verses, you can have things set around the house, you can have something in your car that reminds you as you're driving down the road. But make sure that there are things around you that can help you remember the commitment you made. That you said that I will serve the Lord. That I'm giving myself to him. That I'm picking up my cross. And I don't know what's ahead of me except for heaven. But in this life, I really don't know what's going to happen to me next. But I know I'm carrying this cross with me wherever I go, because I've died to sin and I'm living for him. This morning, if you have not yet made that commitment, if you haven't taken your cross and started to follow after him, there's no better time than the present. We are not promised tomorrow. We have no idea what's ahead of us. If you know today that you're ready to say, I will serve the Lord, that you're ready to say, Jesus is my Lord, that he is the Son of God, and you're ready to do that, and to put him on in baptism, then it's time to do it. Don't hold back. If you need to study more, make sure you do it. Don't just say, well, I need to learn more, and never open up the Bible to learn more, or never go to someone to ask for help. Take the time to do it. But this morning, my challenge to you is to make that commitment. And if you've already made that commitment, but you've been slacking, it's time to recommit. It's time to make sure that you're really doing what you said you would do when you obeyed the gospel. If you have any need, please come forward while we stand and while we sing.
Pierce my ear, O Lord.